What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show. Hour number two, we're going to go take a phone call from Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Hey, first off, I don't want to take up too much time because I love Lake Claire. Not as much as you do, but I do. And, first off, I want to tell people that, you know, Donald Trump's not your savior. He hasn't done anything to roll this back since he's been the president in the first 8 months. And he's not going to do anything after he's elected. This is part of the plan, and he's been here to just represent us through this thing. Fine and dandy. But that's not what I called for. What I called for is to let the RBN audience know that, people, you need to embrace this platform. Mike does this because he does this. He's not getting paid to do this. This is a platform for the people. Mike is one of the people that give you a platform to come up and say what you want to say, and he spends most of his program indulging in the fact that people call. And it's just a wonderful platform. I think people need to realize that they have to support this platform along with the RBN platform and Walking the Catholic platform. And I am so thankful for you and your wife and the entire RBN network. You guys have been there when I needed you, and I needed you a lot, and I know a lot of these people need it. But, hey, if you guys got something you want to talk about, get it on the phone. 1-800-313-9443. Give a call. Get on. Get involved. Do what's important to you. Right now is the time to where we need to hear from other people. Thanks, Mike. Tell Lady Claire.
All right, thanks an awful lot for the phone call here. And, Lady Claire, what's your first story?
Well, I saw this confirmed, and it took me a bit aback. And it's a headline I think we need to pay attention to, and was found in both Zero Hedge and Drudge. Apparently, a Pakistani minister has threatened India with a nuclear attack, quote, to save Muslim lives on national television. Now, right now, there are continued top-level talks between India and China, and the two sides have agreed that they're going to work toward complete disengagement of troops from the contested line of control in the disputed eastern border. But now it appears that tensions are shifting right back to the western border once again, and New Delhi's most immediately threatening nuclear rival, Pakistan. Now, this charge was made by a very highly visible member of the National Assembly of Pakistan, who has grabbed national headlines in Pakistan for threatening India with nuclear war. The guy's name is Prime Minister Sheikh Rashid, and he told a national broadcaster during an interview that his country's nuclear arsenal will save Muslim lives should India conduct acts of aggression. Well, I don't know if this was for domestic consumption, because he is the leader of a very large, very popular Muslim political party. But Prime Minister Khan, I know that in your former professional life as a cricket player, you were a legend in the game. I also know that you made the suggestion last year when you were very upset with India's behavior about, talked about nuclear weapons. But I'm asking you right now to be as great a diplomat as you have been a cricket player. If there is no hotline between New Delhi and Islamabad, Mike, do you know if that exists?
I have no idea. Okay. I would presume there's some method of direct communication.
Yeah, this needs to happen immediately. Khan has got to talk to Narendra Modi and figure out what can be done together to ratchet down this tension. And let me explain why it's important. Okay, China has a massive trade pact with Pakistan, and in fact are building a huge port in Gwadar Deep Seaport, which is strategically located at the mouth of the Straits of Hormuz. Straits of Hormuz, does that ring a bell to anybody?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, flashpoint, folks. And any potential threat to this port is going to be construed as a threat to China's security and its economy, because its navy could well use it as a launch pad into the Indian Ocean. And secondly, and this comes to us from the Economic Times in July, Now, this is a for what it's worth. I had a hard time. There were a couple of articles, but they came and went. Apparently, Pakistan has entered into a deal as of last month with the infamous Wuhan Institute of Virology, and they have signed a covert deal with the Pakistani military to collaborate on research in emerging infectious diseases. Now, whether this has actually happened or not, I'm not sure, but it is food for thought. Now, secondly, the situation is a threat, and it's important because in 2016, under President Obama's watch, there was an agreement signed between the U.S. and India, which is a military logistics agreement. Now, this was a step toward building defense ties as China continues to be assertive at the Indian border, which has led to some very bad skirmishes. And if Pakistan does start a war against India, it will most likely have military help from China. And India most likely will have military help from the U.S. You see where I'm going with
this.
Yes,
I can see where.
Yeah, so I'm kind of hoping that some adults in the room internationally who please have some credibility left can stop this before it starts and encourage some confidence-building measures here. This could seriously be the beginning of World War III, Mike, and I'm hoping it goes no further than the guy was just blown off steam.
Well,
what are your thoughts?
It could have been for internal consumption, but unfortunately, it does feel like everybody's just edging closer and closer to World War III, and they're just waiting for a starting time and for somebody else to fire the first shot.
Yeah, yeah. And back last fall, this is about Iraq. We noted that China had received some major deals for oil development in Iraq, but that may be changing. Another headline again from ZeroHedge.com. It's a very sober-sided blog. I suggest you check it out. President Trump has again vowed that all U.S. troops will soon be out of America's second longest occupation in Iraq, behind the longest running war in Afghanistan. But curiously, like in neighboring Syria, he has tied concluding the U.S. mission there directly to the possibility of oil and resource benefits for American companies. And he's quoted as saying this: "We look forward to the day when we don't have to be there," Trump said in an Oval Office meeting with Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi. "We were there and now we're getting out. We will be leaving shortly and the relationship is very good." I don't know if he's talked to any Iraqi people on the ground.
No.
Hello, Mr. President. Not good. "We're making very big oil deals. Our oil companies are making massive deals. We are going to be leaving, and hopefully we're going to be leaving a country that can defend itself." Mike, this looks to me like economic blackmail. I mean, how do I call it anything else?
No, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the U.S. wants to keep control over Iraq and its oil.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump understands the American people are sick and tired of war and they want to start pulling out from Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and the rest of it.
Yeah.
So he's trying to make it look like we're leaving Iraq, even though we're maintaining control over Iraq.
Yeah, which is as much economic as it is military.
Well, it's more economic than military. That's why you can pull the troops out.
Mm-hmm. And folks, you had to see this coming. Apparently, six Democratic states have filed a lawsuit against the United States Postal Service for impeding free and fair elections. Mike, this coming election in November looks like it's going to be an industrial strength train wreck. What are your thoughts on this lawsuit?
Well, I think the lawsuit is absolutely silly.
Yeah.
The Democrats are trying to force a vote by mail. They're fanning up this COVID 19 crisis to scare people away from the polling places because the vote by mail is how they can stuff the ballot boxes. I mean, there are some states that are even setting up collection bins, which are completely unmonitored boxes where you can just dump ballots in. And it's they're not even trying to hide the fact that they're cheating their way.
Yeah, it's how long after the actual election will we actually know who won the presidency?
I don't know. It could turn into another debacle like Florida in 2000, where it's going to go all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and they will anoint a president for us.
Looking at Turkey, apparently Erdogan is announcing the biggest gas discovery in Turkey's history as the lira
invade
resumes the plunge.
Yes.
Turkey's lira was up as much as 1% ahead of President Tayyip Erdogan's major announcement today, crucially before stumbling right back down, in which he declared a major, significant gas find in the Black Sea. He unveiled the biggest gas discovery in Turkey's history during a speech in Istanbul. Now, Bloomberg is saying the Turkish lira erased gains against the U.S. dollar as Erdogan continued his speech. Borsa Istanbul 100 Index reversed more than 1.3% gains to 0.7% loss, because I think many people see this as a desperate attempt by Erdogan to provide some deus ex machina, as Turkey's economy is imploding and locals are fleeing the lira to buy gold. That can't be great.
No, that can't be good.
No.
Normally think a gas discovery like that would drive the national currency up, but something else is going on.
Yeah, definitely. And I have to wonder, with the dispute with Cyprus and the dispute with Greece over various oil basins in the area, if it's actually Turkey's?
Well, of course, that's a matter of some debate right now. Mm-hmm. Now, Greece is indicating that they're willing to start negotiating to draw some actual hard maritime boundaries.
Yes.
But Erdogan seems to have the attitude of wanting it all.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems rather, how can I put this kindly? I don't know that I can, but he seems very caliphate.
Yes.
Centric in his thinking.
Yes.
And wants to make Turkey great again, but at terrible expense to some of his neighbors, you know. Speaking of which, the UAE will now reportedly send F-16s to Greece amid Athens' drilling row with Turkey. Now, earlier in August, the UAE had hailed a deal between Egypt and Greece on their exclusive economic zones in the Eastern Mediterranean as a victory for international law. The accord was clinched amid Athens-Ankara tension over what Greece described as Turkey's illegal drilling in the area. Now, the UAE is due to send some F-16 fighter jets to the key Greek ports of Ceuta as part of a trilateral defense agreement between the UAE, Greece, and Egypt, the state-run Greek broadcaster ERT reported on Friday. Now, the warplanes are expected to take part in joint military exercises in the Eastern Mediterranean, this outlet added without elaborating. The UAE authorities have not commented on the matter yet, and apparently Abu Dhabi's reported move to deliver the F-16s to Ceuta followed the nation's Minister of State for Foreign Affairs, Anwar Gargash, welcoming the Athens-Cairo agreement defining their exclusive economic zones, EEZs, in the Eastern Mediterranean. Mike, what's going on here?
Everybody's jockeying for position. And again, the wild card is Turkey, which is coming on in there. And it looks like Egypt and Greece and the UAE are trying to form an alliance to sort of hem Turkey in from more on the eastern side, while Greece tries to hem them in on the western.
By the way, for those of you who have never read RT, Russia Today in English, there is some very excellent reporting and covering of the news. And there is a gentleman for whom I have tremendous respect. His name is Scott Ritter, which to people who follow American history in the last 20 years may remember very positively. He's done some really great investigative reporting.
Well, he was a weapons investigator in Iraq.
Yeah.
He was one of the people who was out there saying there are no nuclear weapons here.
Yeah, yes, that guy. And the article is headlined, U.S. is willing to dismantle the U.N. Security Council to put pressure on Iran. And apparently, yesterday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo ignored the warnings from the other JCPOA parties on the Iran deal, met with the president of the Security Council because he was delivering a letter announcing that the U.S. was activating the snapback procedures and that at 30 days it would be calling for a vote on the matter by the Security Council. Michael, why is this guy doubling down on dumb?
Well,
he's not going to get it.
No, he's not. I mean, you would think after the refusal to extend the arms embargo, that the U.S. would get the message that the rest of the JCPOA signatories are sick and tired of the U.S. throwing its weight around.
Yeah.
As Germany pointed out, the U.S. isn't part of the deal anymore. The U.S. pulled out.
Yeah.
They really have nothing to say about it. It's none of their business. And, you know, I noticed even on Fox News when they are out there with Mike Pompeo, they're illustrating his bit with videos of rockets taking off and shots of bombs and just really pushing that Iran is coming to get you if we don't get them first. And apparently Pompeo is now threatening China and Russia with sanctions if they dare to interfere.
Oof, that's rough.
Yes.
That's really rough.
I'm seeing the decline of an empire here.
Yeah. Everything has a life cycle, people.
That's true.
Governments, you know, species.
And U.S. hegemonic domination is getting kind of past the sell-by date.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what Ritter says about this is that a likely outcome will be that the Security Council fails to recognize the U.S. submission of the resolution, followed by the U.S. refusing to recognize the Security Council's ability to prevent such a resolution from being submitted. I mean, the UN Security Council is in uncharted waters with this whole thing.
Yes, it is.
Really. And for true, the U.S. will then seek to submit the resolution, then immediately veto it, and claim that the snapback has been accomplished. Mike, tortured logic in the extreme.
Absolutely.
You know, and then the rest of the Security Council will reject this action and deem the JCPOA to be in play, free of UN sanctions. And then the U.S. will then sanction any party which fails to comply with the U.N. sanctions. Now, if this were actually to occur, Mike, this would mean the functional death and dismemberment of the U.N. Security Council.
Yes.
Do you think that's what Trump is trying to do here?
I don't think he's trying to do it, but I think it's a very real possibility that he's going to break it. The question is, what will the Security Council do? Will they move to eject the United States?
Good question. Good question. What Ritter is thinking in the midst of this mess is that some UN Security Council members, maybe France, Germany, and the UK, may feel compelled to reexamine their position on the lifting of the arms embargo, seek a compromise solution that salvages the JCPOA while denying Iran access to Russian and Chinese armaments. What do you think?
Well, the JCPOA deal is intact.
Yeah.
It's just the United States pulled out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't get a sense that France or Great Britain or Germany are really all that interested in getting the U.S. back into the deal. They're just trying to get the U.S. to sort of remember the fact that they're not part of the deal anymore.
Yeah. I mean, selective memory disorder big time. I think that's what they're dealing with in the White House and Pentagon right now.
Well, you know, Pompeo is out there throwing his weight around, and, you know, he's sort of used to this idea of the United States as leader of the free world. But unfortunately, that's not true anymore.
No.
The arms embargo vote, I think, kind of showed that.
Yeah.
That America has lost its leadership position.
Yeah.
And that other countries are getting tired of all of this.
Right, right. I'd like to go over now to China, and apparently Hong Kong has denied bail to the first pro-democracy activist arrested under the controversial national security law. And they just denied bail to this guy, and they rejected his lawyer's argument that the controversial national sec law was invalid because it conflicts with the basic law, the British-designed constitution that has governed Hong Kong for decades.
Okay, we got to take a break here for commercials.
Got it.
We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show. Here we're going to take a phone call now from Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike. I just heard what you were saying with the so-called sanctions that they want to put on Russia and China.
Yes.
You know, I think Pompeo is actually either completely stupid or he's on some kind of drug. All right?
Yes.
One of the reasons we're having so much problems with the dollar is falling, with all these stupid sanctions. Russia is not using the dollar at all anymore. And I think China is getting away from it too. All right?
Yes.
Russia is not getting hurt, has actually been helped by these sanctions we've putting on the last few years, because they've diversified their economy. Their economy is doing great. They're not in debt. We are. They're not in a they don't owe a dollar. They're actually in China. China's right now in much better shape than we are. This guy's got to be nuts. I mean, he's actually so arrogant, and the problem is Trump keeps him. One of the reasons I'm still going to vote for Trump. Again, I got no choice. Because which way do you want to be shot by a 45 or a 12-gauge shotgun? That's what it comes down to. Between Trump and Biden, okay? I guess I'll take the 45. I'll take a chance of the 45 because that's how But both of these guys are horrible. And they're leading this country down to total disaster, financial and other ways. The only good thing I can say is finally the empire might end, and maybe we can get our real republic back. And that's about it, Mike. I don't know what you think about that. You and you and your wife, you know? But really, I think, look, this guy's got to go. Pompeo is awful. All right, thanks.
Yeah, there's no question that... as far as I'm concerned, they're almost flogging a dead horse here because they've hit sanctions so much. As you say, the rest of the world is moving away from the dollar. And without that international demand, there's nothing else propping up the value of the dollar. And that's why we're seeing it take a nosedive right now. Hello? Okay, I guess we just lost him.
Good.
All right, so... go ahead and pick up your phone call.
Yeah, the story. The guy's name is Tong Ying King, 23. He's a waiter, and he was arrested in July after riding his motorcycle festooned with flags bearing illegal messages about an independent Hong Kong into a crowd of police officers. He was charged with inciting separatism and terrorism for carrying a flag that read, "Liberate Hong Kong, Revolution of Our Times." Now, according to the SCMP, Tong's application for a writ of habeas corpus hinged on an interpretation of Article 42 in the National Sec Law, which specifies that no bail shall be granted unless the judge has sufficient grounds for believing the criminal suspect or defendant will not continue to commit acts endangering national security. Now, I mean, how much more transparent could that kid have been riding into a group of patrol people, of police? Hello.
Yep.
I mean, come on. It's obvious that this was the outcome he wanted. But I think he's going to rue the day because he's going to wind up in jail for a very, very long time.
Yes.
And, Mike, what do you think the future of dissent, peaceful dissent, not writing into people, but peaceful dissent, may be in China as things evolve?
I think that the Chinese government is going to come down on Hong Kong as hard as they've come down on the rest of China itself.
Yeah.
Because they see Hong Kong as part of mainland China. Mm-hmm. The same thing with Taiwan.
Yeah.
And I think what we're embarking on is a period of consolidation where Beijing is going to say, look, this is all ours, and we're all going to, you know, run it the way we think it ought to be run.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I agree. And speaking of China, there is a very renowned EU scientist who is making the statement that COVID-19 was likely engineered in a Chinese lab and an effective vaccine against this is unlikely. Now, this was authored by Stephen Mosher via LifeSiteNews.com. And you can't call this guy a crackpot or some sort of a Johnny-come-lately. The guy's name is Professor Giuseppe Trito. Can't call him a crank. He is an internationally known expert in biotechnology and nanotechnology who has had this incredible academic career, but he is also the president of the World Academy of Biomedical Sciences and Technologies, WABT, an institution founded under the aegis of UNESCO in 1997. So this guy's got some gravitas. Now, equally important, one of the goals of WABT is to analyze the effect of biotechnologies like genetic engineering on humans.
And on that thought, we need to put you on hold.
Okay.
Because we got to take another break for commercials.
All right.
And we shall be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here, and Claire is talking us about to us about Professor Giuseppe Tritto's new book, where he's talking about the Wuhan virus. So take it away.
Yeah, and what the guy says is that China virus definitely wasn't a freak of nature that just happened across the species barrier from bat to human. It was genetically engineered in the Wuhan Institute of Virology's P4 high containment lab in a program supervised by the Chinese military. Now, what sets this book apart, Mike, is the fact that it demonstrates pretty conclusively the pathway by which a PLO-owned coronavirus was genetically engineered to be and modified to become the China virus now ravaging the world. His account leaves no doubt that it is a chimera, an organism created in a lab. But he goes even further. He also connects the dots, linking the Wuhan lab to France and the U.S., showing how both countries offered financial and scientific help to the Chinese as they began to conduct ever more dangerous bioengineering experiments. Now, although neither American or French virologists are responsible for the end result, the infectious coronavirus in a global pandemic, their early involvement may explain why so many insist that the chimera must have come from nature. The last thing they want to admit is that they may have had a hand in it. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, I've been saying all along, if this is a biological weapon, it's a very poor one, and that it was probably more likely a work in progress and somebody dropped a test tube.
Okay.
Because it's not that infectious, and it's certainly not that lethal. And in hindsight, it looks like a lot of the concerns and predictions of millions of dead were extremely overblown.
Yeah.
So if it's an artificially created biological weapon, it's incomplete. It's not finished yet. All right. We're going to take a phone call now from Rob in New York. Hello, Rob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike and Claire. I just wanted to wish you guys a happy Friday.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I just wanted to start off by thanking Dustin for calling in yesterday and not mentioning masks a single time. That was really appreciated. And I wanted to comment quickly, too, on the Steve Bannon arrest. I know a couple
yes.
of callers, I guess Dustin is one of them, have kind of called in and assumed that he's guilty before being proved so. So I just want to remind people that are, you know, he could be innocent until proven guilty. And there's, you know, a lot of potential political shenanigans that are going on with that arrest. And just look at,
yes.
like, maybe Michael Flynn and some other, you know, a lot of other people close to Trump that have been arrested and under, you know, less than ideal circumstances. So before, you know, gloating that he's, you know, so guilty and everything, maybe we should wait and see how that turns out. But the main topic I called about was Belarus. I know you've talked about that a few times this week, but I just wanted to say, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I think one of the callers kind of alluded to it, but didn't really go too in depth to it. But Ron Paul actually reported on it a couple weeks back that the president of Belarus had actually been not complying with the face mask orders and the economic lockdowns and everything. And I know that they are talking a lot about how the election was rigged and all these other, you know, however the media is covering it. I personally don't know exactly what grounds they're saying it was rigged on or, you know, in regards to that. But mainly I just want to point out, going back to even what Claire was just saying, how it seems all this mail-in voting and everything is seeming to be designed to make our election into a circus and just kind of cause chaos and confusion. And I think we should maybe look at this potentially as like a beta or like a test of what they might try to do in our election by, you know, getting everyone suspicious that there was, you know, rigging. And if Trump's not playing ball, I also wanted to mention back in Belarus, so he wasn't complying, and at the World Bank actually is not issuing them their loans because of that. So you can kind of see how a lot of these countries maybe are complying with all these lockdowns and everything. If they're not getting their money, then, so if he's not playing ball with them, you could see how maybe they're trying to gin up suspicion that he was, you know, the election was rigged and he's not a legitimate ruler. And, you know, whether the media is covering that, everyone is suspicious of it, and whether they really are, you know, there could be people out in the streets. I think you could see the same thing happening in America, where they're going to,
yes.
you know, say it was rigged, and even, there will be people on the streets, whether they're paid protesters or whether they legitimately are confused, or maybe, you know, there'll be some legitimate grounds to be suspicious. But you could see the media doing the same thing in America and saying, you know, Trump's not a legitimate ruler and the elections were rigged. And I think we just kind of need to carefully look at what's going on in Belarus before just, you know, agreeing with the media that he did rig the election and he is illegitimate, and potentially look at maybe they are manufacturing that because he's not playing along with their COVID restrictions.
Well, there's the other issue that has to do with, you know, whose sphere of influence Belarus is going to be in. Now, the conventional wisdom is that under the current political leadership, Belarus is in the Russian sphere of influence. That's not entirely true, because the relationship between Lukashenko, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lukashenko and Putin is not a very, very good one. His challenger, though, has definitely indicated a desire to bring Belarus into the Western sphere of influence. And so there's definitely a geopolitical motive to try and get Lukashenko out and get a new government in.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely could be part of it, too. So I just, you know, maybe want to suggest that everything's not at face value in regards to their election there. And, yeah, it could be politically motivated based on, you know, going towards Russia or going towards the West, and also the fact that they're not playing along with the COVID lockdowns. And then I just want to wrap up real quick and just remind everyone that Plandemic 2 is out there. Ben Swan just started a new platform. It's called ISE.media, which is hosting it. And he's doing a great job offering an alternative platform that will be censorship-free without, you know, all these phony fact-checkers and everything. So I encourage everyone to watch it and also just support the platform and keep an eye on it, because I think that's something the world needs more of, is alternative platforms.
I agree. I agree.
All right. Well, that's all I got. And keep doing what you're doing and have a great weekend.
Same to you. Have a great weekend. And Claire, back to you.
Yes, and I noticed that there is a wee bit of a an article on one of the news feeds.
Fox News is already is covering the same story.
I have to laugh because Chicago Mayor Lightfoot is defending a ban on protesters on her block. Now, in the aftermath of the George Floyd killing, which was tragic and awful and should never happened, there have been protests erupting in dozens of cities in California, with hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets. And despite the corona pandemic, they were cheered on loudly by the state's liberal elite, with some of the most Hollywood prominent Hollywood actors taking daily turns to voice their support for the protesters while condemning anyone who did not side with the BLM movement, even when so frequently it devolved into violent rioting and looting of innocent bystanders. All of that abruptly ended, however, when BLM invaded Beverly Hills chanting, "Eat the rich!" That's when the police showed up quickly and immediately cleared out all the protesters.
Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah. Now, while some NIMBY hypocrisy has long been a feature of California, nothing compares to what happened in Chicago, where Mayor Lori Lightfoot, best known for encouraging local Black Lives Matter protests and going so far as to say that Black lives are more important than downtown corporations, after the unprecedented looting that took place last week, defended the Chicago Police Department's ban on protesters being able to demonstrate on the block where she lives. And she told reporters yesterday that she and her family at times required heightened security because of the threats that they're receiving. And yes, Mayor Lori is all about Black Lives protest, just as long as they're not in her backyard. So
yes.
I really want to get it straight with this lady. I'm feeling a Joan Rivers, can we talk moment? Let me get this straight in my head. Other people's homes and businesses can be burned to the ground by BLM, including the businesses of minorities, but not hers. Mayor Lightfoot, forgive me. I mean, that was an extraordinary display of tone deafness, coupled with a couple of shots of good hypocrisy.
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. I mean, the Magnificent Mile got trashed twice now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But her home is protected.
Yeah, her home is protected. And I have to think back at the Rodney King riots, Mike.
Yes.
And the first place I seem to remember that the protesters went to were liquor stores owned by Korean families.
Yes.
In South Central.
Yes.
And I mean, these people, when they found out they could work like 20 hours a day, did to build up a business, to build up rapport with the neighborhood, and they just had it destroyed. You know?
Well, the reason for that was very simple. I mean, the Black population was out there saying, we're in an economically depressed neighborhood. Nobody can be successful here. And here the Koreans came on in and they were being successful.
Yeah.
And it sort of said, the problem isn't the neighborhood, the problem is the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when the riots broke out. They started targeting those successful businesses.
Mm-hmm. Swallowing. apparently, in Russia, a Russian bank has just issued its first precedent-setting crypto-backed loan. I thought this was interesting. And amid the euphoria over DeFi, or decentralized finance, in crypto space, which leverages decentralized networks to transform old financial products into trustless and transparent protocols, among other things, provide loans to businesses or the public with no intermediaries present, a Russian bank has become the first lender in the country to issue loans secured by cryptocurrency tokens. Now, this came out of the English language Russia's Kommersant. Lender Expo Bank said it issued an individual loan to Mikhail Uspensky earlier this week, with Uspensky putting up Wave's crypto tokens as collateral for the agreement. And the size of the loan was not disclosed, but Mike, is this not precedent creating?
It is precedent creating. It's basically saying that Bitcoins can now be used as collateral for loans. And of course, if the value of the Bitcoins drops during the term of the loan and the loan defaults, then it could get really kind of complicated. But yeah, I mean, basically they're saying crypto tokens are now an item with intrinsic value.
Do you think that this was a one-off, or do you think this is going to be more gradually accepted?
I think if it makes money, it'll become accepted.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with you. And this is talking about white flight, and it's real. And Hollywood's apocalypse triggers a mass exodus. And people are apparently taking losses on their homes to get out. Now, this is a veteran publicist, Ed Lotzi, and he told the Daily Mail while referring to the socioeconomic implosion of Los Angeles. And Lotzi said that the L.A. metropolitan area was already changing before the coronavirus brought L.A. to its knees. And the problem has been escalating with the homeless, exacerbated by weak decisions making bad decisions.
Weak politicians
weak
making
politicians, yes.
Making bad decisions.
I'm sorry. Dyslexic Suntai. And Hollywood has always been the wokest of the woke, so politicians did nothing to stop people sleeping on the streets. It's not illegal, and the weather's nice. He said, adding, there's insufficient housing, inadequate medical care, add in COVID-19, and it's the perfect storm. Apparently, he remembers the days when Los Angeles smelled of orange blossoms. Mr. Lozzi, I don't remember those days.
I do.
You do. Okay. And he said, today's scent is urine and feces, with once beautiful parks now filled with homeless encampments and carpeted with drug needles. Now, I remember, and this is a lot of years ago, working as a rep for an architectural company in Pasadena, and having to go to Los Angeles, and I would always pay more to get a parking place as close to my destination as humanly possible, because even back then, there were no-go zones and corridors. And the current images of L.A. are enough to make me cry, remembering some of the really lovely areas in the city back then.
Now, Claire and I lived in Los Angeles for a lot of years, but we would never move back there. Not now. Not the way it is.
No, it's heartbreaking
to see what's happened to the place.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go ahead and take another phone call.
Oh, good.
From Joseph in Hawaii. Hello, Joseph. Welcome to the show. Aloha, bra. What's up?
Aloha, Mike. Aloha, Lady Claire. Nice to talk to you guys. Wanted to bring up, I guess, a couple of thoughts, and I wanted to get your actual thoughts on this. One, the elections, I guess we'll be hearing from the Republicans next week, but, you know, I always seem to bring up when I call about the debt, my concern about how that, you know, how that in the deficit for this past year has increased so much, but the overall debt, and why, you know, this seems to never be an issue. Now I know it's a pandemic. No one wants to bring it up because it's a needed cost, I guess. But it's just when I think of how much things are skyrocketing and how much that's going to affect this country economically in the future. And I try to live debt-free personally as best I can. And when I see the irresponsibility happening in so many ways, it's very frustrating, and how that affects so many, you know, aspects of the economy, the value of the dollar, everything, you know. And so that's the first thing I wanted to bring up, and then I'll hold for your thoughts. But I did have another thing I wanted to also, it's sort of related to that as well. Just to get your comments maybe on that first item.
Okay. Yeah, the debt is completely out of control. There's no question about that. And like I said the other day, there's this story coming out of TMI that the Democrats, the reason they're not really pushing much of an agenda or much of a platform is that if they do take control of the Senate and the White House this November, they're going to be focusing on deficit reduction, which is normally something you'd see the Republicans doing. But it is a real mess, and it is unpayable, and at some point it's going to drag the whole system down to collapse.
You know, when Trump cut those corporate taxes the way he did in hopes of some kind of trickle down, to me, you know, during good times, quote unquote, supposedly was good times, that's when you're supposed to be paying down your debts, you know, and then of course when crisis,
yeah.
I hear the music. Can you hold me over?
Yeah, I'm going to hold you over, but you're going to have to be short because we're on the last segment of our program today. We'll be right back.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A two-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment on this Pauhana Friday, we're talking with Joseph in Hawaii. And Joseph, just sort of pick up where you left off.
Oh, yeah, will do. Thank you so much. The thought about how we were supposedly or hopefully wanting to pay down our debt during the good times over the recent years. And it just seems like it kept escalating. And I know that a lot of times the economic growth that we've had is sort of connected with the increased debt that we've been adding to it. You know, you can spend on a credit card all you want, and you're going to be able to show apparently like you're living well, but it may not necessarily be the case. The other thing I wanted to also mention, too, which is I find ironic, is that it not related to that, but Donald Trump, President Trump, was saying that he didn't feel that we should be bailing out the states that have been irresponsible, you know, more or less with their budgets and so forth. I get that. I mean, I agree. But then why would you be willing to bail out companies that were also irresponsible? You can think of Boeing and other ones. It just seems like, okay, if you're going to follow that principle, you should carry it all the way around. And that's not what I believe he's been doing. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on do you find that kind of ironic, perhaps not consistent in that sort of way he's going about that?
Yeah, there's a tendency for the Trump administration to be far more supportive of corporations than of the states. And I don't agree with bailing out states that have been irresponsible, but you're absolutely correct. Companies that are irresponsible, companies that are badly run, should be allowed to collapse and go out of business and make way for somebody with more smarts. Now, I understand that Boeing is a very iconic company with a very, very long history. But as of late, they have not been producing good product. And maybe it's time, you know, for somebody else to take over leadership of that industry. I mean, Airbus certainly is.
Yep, no, I totally agree. You should never be too big to fail. If that's the case, then we have antitrust laws for that. Because when you get to that point, then you literally can hold captive a country or whatever. So anyway, I appreciate it, Mike. I know it's the end of your time, and thank you very much, Lady Claire, for your always being there on Fridays. Nice to hear from you. Take care.
Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Dustin, hello. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I know I don't have too much time. I'm not going to talk about politics till Monday. But, Mike, I hope your body's ready and Claire's body's ready and your PC's ready and your internet's. Did you get Flight Simulator yet? That's what I want to know.
No, I haven't gotten Flight Simulator yet. I don't even have time to play with the old one I've got.
Because it's like the most visually, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But you need your body ready.
Well, I have a birthday coming up here.
Claire better be ready.
Yeah, I have a birthday coming up here, so maybe maybe there'll be something nice in my birthday stocking a week from now.
Mike, you guys have a good weekend, and I don't know if you have time, Mike, check out the video, the trailer. You have your flight sticks, man. Get ready for it, Mike. It's incredible.
I love Flight Simulator. All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. We're at the end of the program now. Should be hearing the music. There it is. There's the music there. Okay, stay tuned for John Stadmuller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Don't forget, Keith Rogers has got a guest for his show, 8 o'clock Sunday, Mountain Time. Please spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Please donate. We need to replace equipment. We'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.